AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
Reporting, I'm Christopher Cruz. George Santos has become just the sixth member of the U.S. House of Representatives to be expelled. CBS's Scott McFarlane was on Capitol Hill for the vote.
Republican leadership, worried about their narrow majority, tried to save him by voting against the removal.
Do you think Mr. Santos should stay?
I'm not going to vote to expel him. Arguing it sets a bad precedent to remove a member who hasn't been convicted of a crime. But Santos is facing trial next summer on 23 federal charges, including to accusations he stole his campaign donors' credit card numbers and racked up thousands of dollars in charges.
The ceasefire is over in Gaza, and Israel says Hamas still holds 136 hostages, including 17 women and children. So what's next? CBS News Chief Foreign Affairs Correspondent Margaret Brennan.
There are efforts to try to restart some hostage swaps, but right now with the combat operations underway, a lot of the diplomacy is focused on getting Israel to more narrowly target its combat operations in South Gaza to avoid the high civilian death toll we saw in northern Gaza before this ceasefire.
Police in Los Angeles are searching for a man who they believe shot and killed three homeless people in separate areas of the city. Mayor Karen Bass.
Living on the streets we already know is dangerous, and we already know that 4 to 5 people die each day on our streets from a range of causes, and violence is certainly one of them. But I want to be very clear about what we're facing today. This is a killer who is preying on the unhoused.
A former Supreme Court justice has died from complications of advanced dementia and a respiratory illness. Loyola Law's Lori Levinson.
Sandra Day O'Connor will be remembered as a trailblazer, as the first woman on the Supreme Court, as somebody who was very dedicated throughout her years to civic education, as somebody who was not a pushover, as somebody who had had a legislative experience, and who on the court could very well navigate her position.
It doesn't look like it will be a very Merry Christmas this year for some farmers, says CBS's Jim Crisula.
The season is anything but merry and festive for many Christmas tree growers in the South. Some have lost entire groves because of widespread and worsening drought conditions. Dan Polium owns a Christmas tree farm in Kentwood, Louisiana.
I couldn't imagine what the losses are at some of the actual farms around here now.
It normally takes 10-plus years for a Christmas tree to grow to 6 feet.
On Wall Street, the Dow is approaching a record high. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
Right arm, right leg.
Left leg, left arm.
Both legs above the knee.
Both legs, part of my left hand.
Lost both my legs in Iraq.
These 9/11 veterans are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes with features like wheelchair access, roll-in showers, and pull-down cabinets that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family. This life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans, thanks to our donors and supporters. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 37 today, under cloudy skies, east winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Snow showers likely tonight, 29. About an inch of snow tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 22.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
At 7:06 on this Friday morning, the first day of December 2023. Nice to have you along up here on Lake Wissota. Greg Bach is down in Waukesha. Coming up this hour, apparently deplorables bad, vermin not so bad. Remember Hillary Clinton using deplorables to refer to some of the folks that were not real supporters of hers, and the media kind of lost their collective marbles? We'll ask Mark Jacob later this hour about a new study showing that when Donald Trump recently used an old piece of Nazi terminology to describe people who weren't his fans, the media hardly batted an eyelash. Plus, anyone interested in running in next spring's elections can start working to get on the ballot starting today. We'll talk to Jimmy Koska in a few minutes about that. We'll talk sports with Dan Schumacher as well. And a reminder that if you missed our last hour or any past episode of Up North News Radio, or any of the fine stations across the Civic Media Radio Network, go to civicmedia.us. You'll see a map of stations around Wisconsin and all the many shows you can hear on air, online, or on demand. And again, you can follow Up North News Radio, not just on your radio, not just on the Civic Media app, but on several different social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Find us there. You can leave a comment. Over at UpNorthNewsWI.com, several stories that you could follow. Some of them are follow-up stories from our radio program. For example, we have a story there about how Republicans in the U.S. House essentially punted the farm bill to 2024, and so they won't get caught up in the government shutdown drama that's going to come back in January and February. But by punting the farm bill to 2024, Congress is missing out on a chance to help farmers and consumers being squeezed by corporate middlemen. We talked to Darren Von Ruden of the Wisconsin Farmers Union a little ways back here on the radio program, and that figures into the article that you can find over on our website, along with different ways to save on holiday groceries across Wisconsin this season, and links to a couple of video reports that you'll find over at UpNorthNewsWI.com and on social media as well. All right, we will probably talk for the last time here about University of Wisconsin System President Jay Rothman and a report in the Daily Cardinal about an email where he puts out some potential suggestions that include shifting away from the liberal arts, especially in campuses that predominantly serve lower-income students. I have said now a couple of different times that if that's the way Jay Rothman feels, he should resign. He has continued to say that's not how he really feels, that he was simply creating a summary of a report and its suggestions, to which some people have said, well, that still gives some of these ideas credibility. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel interviewed UW-Whitewater Professor David Simmons from the Philosophy and Religious Studies Department, who said, quote, "It's not good for the president of the UW system to even be articulating these ideas." Meanwhile, the system president Rothman says the ideas were about food for thought as they followed this report, which was a bit of a case study of a university in another state that grew itself, did not pay as much attention to costs, ran into financial difficulties, and had to make some very painful cuts. And Rothman's email, he says, was a summary of what was done there and what those potential takeaways could be for chancellors across the UW system. Well, why would they want to take that into consideration? Because some of the campuses in the UW system are really struggling. You've got UW Oshkosh, Platteville, Parkside, Green Bay, all laying off employees this year. You've got Green Bay, if not others, deciding whether they want to drop some of the majors in things like economics, environmental policy, theater, and dance. The Journal Sentinel article talks about Rothman's respect for the liberal arts, and that he has expressed that in the past, and he continues to express it in the present. But it also notes appropriately that he has also echoed the views of Republicans who want more university resources devoted toward career paths, basically, you know, just become pipelines to specific jobs or to specific job sectors. It's a natural tension that you're always going to find in the modern university system. The question is, where does your leadership take you in one direction or the other? This entire episode should be a lesson to all that it's simply not right to underestimate the value of a liberal arts education in Wisconsin and elsewhere. That there is, of course, a place for paths that lead immediately to careers. The University of Wisconsin system, for example, is filled with leading national research that is done, and done in, oftentimes with private sector partnerships in mind, things that can lead to job creation. We have a very well-rounded university system here, but we have one that is struggling. And a part of the reason it's struggling is demographics. Yes, there's no getting around the demographic cliff that's out there that all universities are facing. But it's exacerbated by an anti-education or an anti-public education mindset by Republicans who have been controlling the purse strings for the past dozen years, and controlled by a group of politicians who are decidedly opposed to supporting the liberal arts and humanities, seeing that as quote-unquote indoctrination, and that there's some kind of woke ideology involved, when all it is allowing people to think for themselves, see the big wide world, make decisions for themselves, and express those points of view. And apparently, if they're not in line with how some conservatives feel those viewpoints should be, well, then you threaten to cut their funding. Or you do cut their funding, as this legislature has done, because they don't like the point of view that maybe you should be in favor of diversity and equity and inclusion. And so you undermine the very things that you claim to be for, like creating jobs. That's what would happen at UW-Madison if these same legislators would approve the funding for a long overdue expansion and modernization of the College of Engineering. But by conservatives being the ones that are playing ideological games, they undermine their own criteria about job creation programs at universities. They're the ones playing politics with this. Jay Rothman was put in this position in part because he could be a bridge to that business community and express what is necessary for the university to have resources that can lead people to careers and can lead people to liberal arts educations that can take them to a wide variety of careers. And to this point, Jay Rothman has not been able to get that job done. So when an email comes out like that, that appears to have some sympathies toward, shall we say, not emphasizing the liberal arts as much, small wonder there is a reaction as strong as it was this week. So Jay Rothman did the right thing in talking to the Journal Sentinel and expressing again his admiration for the liberal arts. But, and he says in there, the proof is in the pudding in terms of what he has done. Well, that pudding is what we're continuing to watch as well. The proof is in the pudding, and right now we're seeing less financial support from the university, and we're seeing more job layoffs, and we're seeing increased political attacks on the UW system. And if Jay Rothman wants to continue to have respect for the job that he's doing, he's going to have to fight the fight to do more at the legislative level to win support and grow programs on both sides of that ideological divide, liberal arts and direct-to-career programs. 7 o'clock temperatures, big change, changes from north to south here. It's 15 up here on Lake Wissota. In Hayward, it's only 8 degrees. Park Falls at 8. And then Wausau's at 19, Green Bay 22, La Crosse 25, Wisconsin Rapids 24, Oshkosh 30, Madison's at 31 degrees, and Waukesha is a balmy 37 compared to that 8 degrees in Hayward and Park Falls. Let's find out what's going on with all that and the forecast for the full weekend with meteorologist Jennifer Vucicki from Weatherology. Jennifer, happy Friday. Good morning.
Happy Friday. Good morning to you. Yeah, well, it looks like cloudy skies are becoming mostly cloudy for all today. Looks like a chance for some rain and snow mixing around Waukesha this morning. Just a chance for some rain this afternoon just east of that around Milwaukee, and a chance for rain and snow mixing in the afternoon around Madison. It does look like a chance for some snow or rain and snow mix tonight from Oshkosh through southern Wisconsin for everyone south tonight. Highs otherwise for today from Milwaukee over toward Madison, mostly holding fairly steady where they're at currently this morning. Otherwise, everyone else is expected to get into the mid to upper 30s today. Saturday, a fairly simple day, actually. Cloudy for all. Highs pretty similar to today, getting into the mid to upper 30s. A little bit warmer around Milwaukee, getting into the low 40s. By Sunday, a little bit all over the place. A slight chance for snow in the morning hours from Amory and Baldwin over towards Wausau. A chance for rain and snow mixing in the morning from Richland Center down to Madison, up to Oshkosh and over towards Wisconsin Rapids. And just a chance for some rain around Waukesha, Milwaukee. Once again, temperatures will be fairly similar to the past several days. Our warmest spots, Richland Center and Milwaukee, lingering in the mid to low 40s, in the mid to upper 30s for everyone else. Then to start out the work week by Monday, a dry start for all with partly sunny skies across the board and highs similar to the weekend.
All right. Looking forward to all of that, Jennifer. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Thanks so much. You too.
All right. Coming up on 7:18 right now. So just a quick look at sports. The Bucks lost in Chicago last night in overtime, 120-113. They will host Atlanta tomorrow. And then the Knicks on Tuesday, continuing that in-season tournament. You can hear the Bucks on News from the Center and Richland Center, Oshkosh Air Support, Lake Erin Amory, WRJN and Racine, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. The Badger and Marquette men's basketball teams square off tomorrow morning at 11:30 in Madison. The Badger women's volleyball team advanced, defeated Jackson State in the first round of the NCAA tournament. They will next host Miami University of Florida at the Fieldhouse tonight at 7. And Marquette defeated Eastern Illinois. They're playing in Purdue, and they will take on Purdue coming up tonight, again, as the NCAA women's volleyball tournament gets underway. Pause here, and when we come back, Jimmy Koska will talk to us all about being a candidate in your local spring elections. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Friday morning, when you're here, you're up north. Back in a bit.
The morning show on WFHR, it's different.
That's when all of a sudden, if you notice every other Batman costume, the cowl is not attached to the suit anymore.
Right.
And Batman can actually do this amazing thing where he turns his head. The Joker's masterful plan of going to the left. Serpentine! Quick penguin, Serpentine!
Weekdays from 8 to 10 a.m. only on locally grown radio.
Wisconsin enjoys a rich history in broadcasting, which we celebrate at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame. I'm Michelle Vetterkind, president of the WBA. We honor those who have devoted their careers to serving their local communities as legendary broadcasters. They are personalities, owners, engineers, and educators. It's an experience that's free for all to enjoy. Visit the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame, located inside the Milwaukee Hilton City Center.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
If you missed it earlier, on this day in history, happy 78th birthday to Bette Midler. Love this song. Now, Greg Bach was trashing, you know, the nice slow love song of the Teddy Bears, to know him is to love him. So, Greg, a little slow jam from the 70s by Bette Midler. Does that sit better with you?
Anyone who speaks ill of Bette Midler, I'll find you and I'll ruin your life slowly.
All right. So there we go. The teddy bears, no. Bette Midler, yes. On the Greg Bach
musical
meter.
And never forget it.
I'll never forget. I promise. I promise. Boy, we better pivot quickly to Jimmy Costco over here. Jimmy, good morning.
I feel threatened. I'm good. I'm doing great, Pat. How are you?
Great, thank you. While we got you here, we've been talking, you know, the high school football tournament here for the low these past many weeks, but you actually do wear many different hats. But before we get to one of those other hats, we're going to stick with sports just for a moment to say Sunday night, Lambeau Field. Who you got? Is it Taylor Swift or Simone Biles? Who's going to win that face-off on Sunday night? Apparently, there's football teams involved as well, but I think we're just going to be watching the wives and girlfriends.
I think if you're looking just purely at social media metrics, I think Taylor Swift is going to win that part of it. But just look at this week. This week is all about Spotify Wrapped, right? Like everybody's publishing their list, and Taylor Swift is in the top five for a surprising number of people. Maybe not so surprising, but maybe the people like in our company who sharing theirs, like me, Taylor Swift ends up in my top five. But that's partly because A, I'm a Swiftie, and B, my kids also enjoy it, and that's something. Safe for the car ride to and from sports practices and schools. So
I think we're in a very good position here that you have not only Taylor Swift's boyfriend Travis Kelce with Kansas City coming to the Lambeau Field this weekend, but then Simone Biles' husband Jonathan Owens from the Packers, and his job is to cover Travis Kelce during the game. So I think that we're lucky to have such a good little. What's the word I'm looking for? Diversion to talk about as well, because these are both good athletes whose partners are good athletes. And we'll have more to talk about than just the usual game. So I
guess the camera operator something to do during the game.
Oh, right? That director is going to be punching buttons like crazy. So that, again, is the Sunday night football game, Green Bay versus Kansas City. But let's get to local offices, local elected offices, because today, December 1st, is the first day that people interested in running in these elections can do what's called circulate nominating petitions, meaning you have to collect so many signatures from your neighbors in the district to get on the ballot. So, Jimmy, talk to us more about what it's like to be a school board candidate and what people need to know if they're interested in running for one of their local offices.
Yeah, today's really the first big day of the 2024 election cycle because, as you said, it is the first day you can start collecting signatures and getting those nomination papers filled out. And you only really have a month to do it because the deadline for all of this is the first Tuesday in January, which this year is January 2nd. So you have just a little over a month to get everything turned in. And the requirements for getting on the ballot vary depending both on where you live, the size of the community you're in, and also the type of office you're running for. A circuit court judge in a county like Milwaukee or Dane, you have to collect a lot more signatures. So the requirements there may be thousands of signatures, where running for a school board in a community my size, you're only required, I think the minimum in my city is 20, I think is the minimum. You only have to collect 20 to 80 signatures. So it depends on the office you're going to. It depends on where you live for the requirements, but that's kind of the start of it. And today's the first day that you can actually go out and start getting those signatures. And I think for people who have never, have never run for an office, or maybe you're thinking about what all goes into it, the process is pretty straightforward. The forms are all readily available for download from the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Once you have them filled out and turned into your clerks, you can then start going out to get signatures. So before you start spending any campaign money, which in the case of a lot of school board members and local officials probably doesn't exist. You probably don't have a campaign fund if you're running for a simple local office like a clerk office or in a lot of places even a school board position. But once you get that paperwork turned in, you can then go out and start collecting the required signatures to get on the ballot. And again, that has to be turned in before January 2nd. So today is a big day if you're talking local elections, because the local elections that are up include your city and your county boards, school boards, as we talked about, circuit court judges, and of course, municipal and county clerks, which help administer the election. And we all know what a topic that is going in to 2024.
That's right. And again, just a little bit of elections 101 in Wisconsin. When people say, well, why spring elections and why November elections? The ones in November are the ones for partisan offices like legislature, you know, governor, Congress, things like that. These spring elections are for these local offices that are nonpartisan. Now, that's not to say that people don't have political points of view, and even political parties will get involved sometimes on behalf of a candidate, but they are officially nonpartisan races. And these are truly the races where you can serve your community. And so, Jimmy, obviously some people are starting today, but other people, after they hear this or after they mull things over for the weekend, there's still time to collect those signatures. So if somebody were just kind of sort of thinking about being on their school board or county board, you know, over these next couple of days, what would you tell them is a reason to consider stepping up and serving?
Well, there's two parts to it. First of all, this spring election, because it's on an even year, there is a partisan component to it. It is also the presidential primary. So there's going to be a higher voter turnout for this, depending on who's on the ballot. In this case, you know, for Republicans, you know, with the primary, they're the, you know, with the Democratic president in the office, and that candidate more or less decided that's going to drive turnout. So there's going to be more people going to this. There's also going to be a number of referenda on the ballot, not only in the April election, but already some have already filed for the February primary, where there will actually be school referenda on the ballot in some places as schools grapple with the fact that federal funds are expiring after this year, the federal COVID funds. So now schools are seeing these budget shortfalls coming up for the next school year's budget cycle. So those are going to be on the ballot as well. I would say that if you're considering this, the best resource to go to is right to the Wisconsin Elections Commission website. I've actually compiled a lot of this on civic media websites across the company. So if you go to any of the station websites today, the lead article has just kind of a quick checklist of things that you need to do and where to go, just things that you can find to help you make sure you have the right nominating paperwork, know where to go to get the signatures, just kind of the process and how it's all laid out. Again, it's very straightforward. It sounds really complicated, right? It's a pretty straightforward process. You fill out a couple of forms. One of them is to declare any political campaign, any cash, anything like that you're spending on political action. And then obviously just the part that puts your name and your location, verifying your identity and where you live so you could be on the ballot. And then, of course, for those positions that require it, the form to collect the signatures from around your community. And as we established, it depends on where you live and what office you're running from. But those requirements can vary depending on where you live.
All right. And again, just go to civicmedia.us, go to one of the station pages, and you'll learn more about it there. Thanks to Jimmy, who I'm sure we'll be talking about throughout the course of this campaign about school board and other local elected office issues. Jimmy, thanks very much. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
I appreciate you having me here.
All right. When we come back, Mark Jacob is going to join us, and we're going to talk about apparently there's some kind of difference between vermin and deplorables. That's next. You're up north.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
The Todd Alba Show.
Dave in Minneapolis.
I'm embarrassed to say, but I did vote for Trump the first time. But then after January 6th, I could not vote for him because he is a danger to, I think, us as a country.
Dave's absolutely right. There are foundational things that should transcend partisanship, right? Democracy, a peaceful transition of power, our veterans.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
And as goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Earl Ingram was giving Thanksgiving turkey cooking tips. Apparently, if you use your thumb and put an imprint on the turkey breast, if it bounces back, it's fresh. If it doesn't, it's frozen.
If you see a guy wandering around a grocery store in Madison doing things to turkeys, you'll know who it is.
I just gotta find myself a freshie.
As goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Having low income can mean making tough choices. Choosing between paying for food or medication or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
My friend Teddy almost set his house on fire. He used a counterfeit, you know, a fake wall charger. He had to go to the hospital.
My big sister Jenna's face turned bright red. She was just showing people online how to use a new cream. She still has the scars.
My brother's friend Billy had to jump off his motor scooter when it caught fire. He fell and got hit by a car. He broke his leg, blew his chances to play basketball in college.
My BFF Chloe was riding her bike and hit a ditch. Her helmet broke in two. Now, she has a brain injury.
There is a cost to buying cheap. Do you want to pay the price?
Real products are tested for safety. Protect yourself. Don't fall for fake products.
Visit ncpc.org/goforreal. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 37 today, under cloudy skies, east winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Snow showers likely tonight, 29. About an inch of snow tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 22.
There's nothing better. That's just the way you make me feel.
And Janelle Monae's birthday today on this December 1st. Welcome back. This is Up North News Radio. We're going to be talking to Mark Jacob here, who joins us on Fridays. But he also has a newsletter called Stop the Presses. And you can catch a newsletter from him, one from Kia Vakil, one from Carolyn Fiddler, and a couple of others through our parent company, CourierNewsroom.com. Courier Newsroom is the parent company of Up North News, all separate from Civic Media, but thrilled to be on their radio stations here 5 times a week in the mornings. And Mark, again, has that, not only has that newsletter, but now has a bit of a, Mark, what do we call it? Is it a podcast? Is it a video podcast?
No, it's just like a quick video hit. And the way to get to it off the web is stopthepresses.news, N-E-W-S.
That's right, and, Stop the Presses.
And that's where you'll see my newsletter and the video, which I'm doing with Stephen Beschloss, who's a writer and teaches at Arizona State and has a really good Substack newsletter called America America. And he and I, you know, have just started kind of doing a 5 to 7 minute quick hit on it's called Media Misses, and looks at kind of ways that news media is kind of failing to accurately depict what's going on these days.
I really liked it. I enjoy our 15 minutes on Fridays. I thought that first one with Stephen, that was about 7 minutes or so. Again, you take a couple of topics and break them down, make them very understandable so that people become more savvy news consumers, shall we say. So between that and the Stop the Presses newsletter, hope that all goes great for you. Again, go to stopthepresses.news to learn more about his newsletter and Media Misses, the little video series.
And it's free.
And it's free. Can't beat that price.
Yeah, you can't beat the price. It's worth every cent of it, too.
and then some. You remember, and I remember, when Hillary Clinton described people who weren't fans of hers as deplorable. And meanwhile, and of course, the media lost their collective marbles. Mm-hmm. But then you had Donald Trump recently use the word vermin, you know, hearkening back to you know, things the Nazis used to say. Right. And I don't know. I thought, well, did the media just miss this? Well, now it's actually been documented that the media just couldn't care less.
And that the media moved on from that a lot more than they moved on from Hillary's. You know, the Media Matters actually did a study on it, and they found that mentions in major newspapers of the deplorables thing happened much more than the vermin thing. Like 29-1 was the ratio of how many mentions there were in major newspapers. And Pat, you know, part of it is that Trump just says so many outrageous things that it just kind of everything just flows down the river. It's a, you know, it's just one thing after another. But you know, but people did stop for I'd say maybe a day and say, oh, vermin, that's bad. But then they moved on because then he was, you know, talking about other crazy stuff like calling out the military to, you know, crush dissent and stuff like that. I mean, there's a new thing every day almost with him. But the vermin thing is worth stopping at because it is totally Nazi-like language. I mean, it is. In fact, it is. I went and I have newspaper archives because I write books and, you know, do history research. And, you know, I went and, you know, plugged it in. And boy, that word shows up a lot in Nazi rhetoric of the 1930s.
And the thing is, it is downright hateful. Contrast that to when, you know, Hillary Clinton mentioned that, you know, she said her exact words were, you could put half of Trump supporters into what I call a basket of deplorables, people who are racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic. But then she went on to stress that you can't write those folks off because these are people who feel the government has let them down. The economy has let them down. Nobody cares about them. Nobody worries what happens to their lives and their futures. They're desperate for change. These are people we have to understand and empathize with as well. So she's actually acknowledging that people are acting in a hateful or even racist manner, but that they do have some legitimate anxieties as well. She's trying to, you know, extend that sense of compassion. You didn't see any of that from Trump.
Yeah, well, there you go, putting context to things.
I know, silly context.
What a silly mistake. I do think it was a mistake, you know, like a tactical political mistake for her to have said that, you know, because they were going to jump on it. But part of that is what I call kind of fairness signaling. And this is what when the news media, you know, one candidate is completely out of their minds and the other candidate is more normal and, you know, doesn't say a lot of crazy things all the time. When that more normal candidate says something that's a little outrageous or a little, you know, just a little inappropriate, they go nuts with it. And they do that. The media do that as it's what I call fairness signaling, which is when they say, hey, look, we're fair. We're going to cover both sides. Therefore, when one candidate who's the more normal candidate does something crazy, we'll just go crazy with it. We'll just plaster the news with it. That will make us look more fair. And that's what I think goes on in situations like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just a flat-out double standard, it feels like, at times. Now, you mentioned for the print report of vermin versus deplorables, the ratio was 29-1. When you looked at cable news, it was actually that the deplorables comment got 9 times more coverage than Trump's vermin comment. And on the big 3 broadcast networks, they provided 18 times more coverage of Clinton's remark than Trump's remark. Again, just to, you know, illustrate the point being made here that just because somebody says a lot of bad things doesn't mean that that those things aren't bad and should be examined,
right,
and held up to a higher standard. But, you know, alas, that is where we find ourselves,
well,
these days.
The best example of completely ignoring something outrageous being said is Trump's termination of the Constitution remark, which was a year. It happened on a Friday. And so, you know, all the big important journalists were on their weekend. And so they didn't report it much. That happened last December. Trump actually called for termination of the Constitution to put him back in office. He used to use the phrase, he used the word termination. Yet most, I don't think most people know that, and it just, it didn't get that much coverage. And why didn't get much coverage? It's amazing how things just get ignored.
Yeah, they know that there's a group on one side that's going to try to work the refs more loudly.
Right.
And, you know, apparently they kowtow to that. I noticed that you put up one post about apparently last night on the Fox political channel, there was a debate or whatever you want to call it between Ron DeSantis and California Governor Gavin Newsom. I did not peek in on it. Did you drop in on it at all?
No, I didn't. I had better things.
We all do.
I just couldn't. I couldn't force myself to do that.
Gavin Newsom, you can say whatever about as a governor, you know, is he running the state properly? How are his administrative skills? How are his political skills? But I'm just saying, from a debate standpoint, from what I've seen of him previously and what I've seen on his media appearances, Ron DeSantis or anybody should not take up any invitation to debate this guy. He knows his stuff.
No, he's really quick on his feet, too. You know, Pat, the thing that I'm just amazed at what a terrible campaigner Ron DeSantis is. It's just stunned me how bad he is. Because, frankly, for doing horrible things as governor of Florida, he's been quite effective. I mean, he's been very aggressive, and he's gotten laws passed that have hurt people. He's been very good at being bad. And I thought he'd be a better campaigner, and yet he's weird. You know, the thing I posted, you may have seen, there's this clip of him like pretending to smile.
Trying to smile.
Night.
He can't
and it's,
do
it's
it.
The most, it's, it really reminded me of the Coneheads on Saturday Night Live, you know, which is, well, we're from France. It was so uncomfortable and so fake. I mean, and you know, that's just one thing. He's just overall bad as a campaigner, and thank goodness he's bad.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because he's doing bad things and would do terrible things if he had the chance to. What I did dip into a little bit yesterday was the floor debate in the House of Representatives on a motion that would lead to the expulsion of George Santos or whatever his real name is. Yeah. And it was again, so it just so epitomized the society we live in now that at one point, one of the members of the House says, you know, you're a crook. And Santos gets up and says, well, you're an accused woman beater. I'm like, it's turning into Jerry Springer on the floor of the House.
Right. And then later, I mean, I was half watching it while I was, you know, doing some writing and I was listening to it. And I heard Santos say, I wouldn't stoop to that level. And I don't know what he was talking about, but I thought, there's really a lot of levels that Santos has stooped to. I mean, name one level he hasn't stooped to. I mean, it's like he's a level stooper. I mean, that's what the guy does. And so I just thought that was hilarious. And then, you get the all the worst characters in the House GOP were like coming out in favor of him, like Matt Gaetz and Clay Higgins. And I mean, they're all this is changing our standards. He hasn't been convicted yet. Is there any American with a brain who thinks that George Santos is not a criminal and also defrauded the voters? He defrauded the voters in the midterms.
Right. And that's where when they talk about, well, you know, you got to respect the will of the voters. No, the voters were defrauded.
Right. Right. I mean, yeah, they're saying, well, this should be between Santos and the voters. Well, come on. I mean, he all right. So they elected some guy who worked for Goldman Sachs and he didn't. So, I mean, and his, you know, the thing about his mom and 9/11. I mean, it's outrageous, the list of lies by that guy. And then, you know, what's really also amazing to me is how these total con artists, you know, like Trump and like Santos and, you know, like the whole bunch of them, Lauren Boebert, they have no shame. I mean, it's amazing how they were born or they grew up with no shame, and they can just stand up there. Santos stands up there, you know, and he's as proud as any member of Congress, and he's, you know, he's been, you know, maligned and he's been treated badly. I mean, I just don't, you know, you or I would just be so ashamed that we would just crawl into a hole and we'd hide. Because we would never do things like that. But if we did, we'd feel guilt about it. And that to me is a little frightening. These people, you know, like Mike Johnson, the guy who's, you know, Mr. Super Christian, who's not, and, you know, who's the House Speaker. who just, you know, has lied about everything. There's a new thing about him, by the way, that people should pay attention to. MAGA Mike Johnson wrote a foreword last year for a book that pushes the Pizzagate conspiracy theory.
Oh, gosh.
You know, so, which is, you know, widely debunked, completely false, and actually led some nutcase to go in and shoot up a pizza parlor.
And this is who's Speaker of the House, you know, at this point. And it's really something. Again, Speaker of the House with a tiny majority of like four right. seats. Now, if Republicans had a majority of 10 or 20 seats, we all don't doubt they would have expelled Santos, you know, in an hour and a half.
Right. Right.
But because they need every little vote that they can get, you know, they're holding on to him that long.
Well, that's the thing. It's all expediency. I mean, there are no. It's all about power. I mean, I think if the Republicans have told us anything in the last few years, it's that they don't believe in anything except their own power.
The last stop is media coverage of the passing of former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger at the age of 100. I don't know that. There's not a lot for me to weigh into on this, except to keep it to the coverage level. And it certainly does seem that from a coverage level, a lot of the reporting was very surface, as opposed to really getting into the kinds of things that Henry Kissinger was responsible for in other nations.
Yeah. I mean, it was a mixed bag. I mean, the Rolling Stone online just, you know, called him a war criminal in their headline, which I was perfectly fine with because he is or was. New York Times managed to slip in some mention in the lead of their story, that, you know, saying that he sometimes went against the values of democracy, which I gave them credit for. They don't always deserve credit, but they do for that. Washington Post wrote a terrible, terrible obit in which they didn't get to anything about, you know, his secret illegal war in Cambodia or him conspiring to overturn the results of a fair election in Chile or him conspiring with a dictator in Pakistan, all this horrible stuff. They didn't get into any of that until the eighth paragraph, after they'd already gone through, you know, what a, you know, great, you know, quipster he was and how... And
his dating life.
Yes, they mentioned how he had dated movie stars before they mentioned anything about how he had was, you know, arguably responsible for the death of hundreds of thousands of human beings.
Yeah, if not millions. And yes. So much more could have been written, and there are plenty of other sources to go to look beyond the surface coverage by some of the major media here. Mark Jacob, again, to get his Stop the Presses newsletter, go to stopthepresses.news and see more of his writing and his new video series as well. Thanks, Mark. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Pat.
All right. See you later. When we come back, Dan Schumacher will be here, and we'll talk sports heading into the weekend as we wrap things up on a Friday morning. You're up north. That's just the way you make me feel.
What if your next breath is your last breath? Jesus said that no one is good except God alone. Paul wrote that no one is righteous, not even one. Isaiah says we all, like sheep, have gone astray. At First Baptist Church of Wisconsin Rapids, we believe there is hope of life after death in Christ alone. Historic faith, prayer, fellowship, virtue, the preaching of the word. Visit firstbaptistwr.com.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news, talk, and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Oh, Greg, how could you do this? You know we play Grateful Dead songs when Dan appears. Where did you get the idea to re-rack the Carpenters' number one hit from this day in 1973 on Top of the World?
I couldn't help it, Pat. They're just so good.
Thanks for not throwing me under the bus there. I'm the one that did that. I just thought, you know, we hear... Go ahead. If you got some Grateful Dead for Dan, go ahead and bring it.
Of course, I got some Grateful Dead for Dan. Who am I?
There we go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's more like it. Mr. Schumacher, how are you?
Dan's unimpressed.
Dan's not depressed. He's happy now.
I said unimpressed.
Unimpressed? Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's true.
Sunshine daydream.
That's right. Yep. I don't know. Did we... We may not have discussed between Thanksgiving and off days and such. I don't remember if we discussed that you managed to hit a deer with your truck a couple of weeks back, and you're still in the throes of that process. Is it you still getting repaired?
Yeah, I dropped it off yesterday at the body shop. It'll take a couple of weeks to get back, but first time since I've been driving I've ever hit a deer, so it was a good run. It was a good run of 46 years.
Welcome to the club, Dan. It sucks.
It does, but hopefully get you back rolling here before too long.
Yeah, you bet.
Facebook comment from Ron here saying, great show. We appreciate that. I'm sure it's Dan and the Grateful Dead music that does it there. But yeah. as we start to cover sports here, I've been having some fun with, the Taylor Swift, Simone Biles aspect of it. But the Packers-Chiefs game could be a good one at Lambeau Field here Sunday night. Both teams have definitely shown their ups and downs during the season. And again, I know you're more of a Bears fan, but that's going to be a nice little matchup on Sunday, I think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that you've got some talented people that are going to be on that field that night. And Kansas City, they've been hot and cold so far this year. They look really good in some areas, and then they go a game like 2 weeks ago, and they probably set football back 20 years. So
that Bears-Vikings game, holy cow.
Yes, that was the worst game of the NFL for the year so far. 12-10, come on.
George Halas and Bud Grant are looking down going, are you kidding me with this?
Yeah, right. Exactly right.
It was ugly. I wanted to touch on the volleyball because you had previously been athletic director at UW-Eau Claire, past national champion there in D3. In the D1 tournament, the Badger women beat Jackson State in straight sets. And so tonight they will host Miami of Florida in the field house at 7 o'clock tonight. Marquette beat Eastern Illinois, and now they're at the sectional host Purdue. Purdue is a 3 seed. Marquette is a 6 seed, and they'll go at it at 6 o'clock tonight. I have the D3 bracket up, and I believe the championship is either tonight or tomorrow. Oshkosh made it as far as the quarterfinals.
Yep.
I know Stevens Point won a first-round game. So, it wasn't a bad tournament, but I don't believe there's any Wisconsin schools in the finals.
No,
here for
Oshkosh D3. Oshkosh made it to the Final Four. Mm-hmm. You've also got football, too. They're in their third week of the semifinals right now for football. And lacrosse is hosting North Central College at Naperville, Illinois, who's won the national championship the last 3 years in a row. So there's still some WIAC football around the state. Whitewater got knocked out. I'm sorry, Whitewater's in it as well. Lacrosse and Whitewater are still alive. And so, the WIAC is a very strong conference. It's always been historically. Unfortunately, though, Pat, as I explained to you, we lost one of our colleagues last week. Christina Navarro, Dr. Navarro, who was a colleague of mine when I was at Eau Claire. She's been the AD at UW Platteville. And actually, Platteville was one of the teams that did not make the NCAA playoffs, but they qualified for a bowl game, which was called the Isthmus Bowl down in Sun Prairie. It's hosted at the high school there. And we played a CCIW school, which is College and Universities of Illinois and Wisconsin, in Washoe. And she was there at the banquet that night before, and unfortunately she passed away sometime in between. It's a very tragic story. 40-year-old woman, just a great leader on her campus. I know she's going to be sorely missed. She had a stint at Whitewater for a while, but she was a very serious person. She was putting Platteville in a good position to have great success on the national stage. Unfortunately, she passed away, and at the time she passed away, unfortunately, she was also carrying a daughter 7 months into her pregnancy. So it's a really tragic. It was shocking. It's national news in the NCAA world, and I just think the world of her, and I'm sorry for her family and everybody at Platteville, and trying to get through something like this is a difficult time.
Well, I appreciate you bringing it up because, again, it was shocking news, but she was amazingly well-respected. And the athletic director community is a close-knit one, you know, throughout the state.
Everybody knows everybody.
That's right. Well, they know you. They know you're doing new things up at Northland College. What are you working on?
Well, I just got done, Pat, working with Channel 10 WDIO on a piece regarding this year we're celebrating 50 years of Division III athletics. Okay. Started in 1973. So the three schools in the Northland up here, which would be us and Superior and St. Scholastica, we're getting some good play out of the history of Division III, the true amateurism to Division III, where they're not getting paid. They are not on scholarship. So working on it, it really does help with our profile and get the word out about the institutions that are up here on Lake Superior. With that, I'm still working on recruitment for wrestling, and hopefully we're preparing over this winter time now to make a final decision on the sponsorship of reinstating football. Okay. So a lot of things are going on, a lot of good things. We're in crossover time. The fall sports are just getting done and winter sports starting. So hockey and basketball is in full swing.
The Marquette men's basketball team is now ranked third in the nation, and they travel to Madison to take on the Badger men's basketball team 11:30. You'll hear that game on some civic media stations tomorrow morning, Fox TV as well. Marquette on a good run here. Badgers are going to have their hands full tomorrow, I think.
Well, I think they're going to have their hands full for a couple of years ahead of them, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I where Marquette is in a program-wise compared to where Wisconsin is right now, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Badger men's coach guard's going to be looking over his shoulder soon.
Maybe so. Badger men's hockey team is hosting Ohio State at the Kohl Center, 7 o'clock tonight, 8 o'clock Saturday. Badger women's hockey hosting UMD Saturday and Sunday afternoons at Laban Arena next door. So there's your little update on sports and what we find Mr. Schumacher up to. You have a great weekend up there, and we'll talk again soon.
Take care, guys.
Greg, you have a good time at the Comedy Club tonight. Plug it real quick here.
Damon Millar, three shows. One show tonight, two shows tomorrow, recording and filming a special. So if you want to be part of a cool thing, he's going to be recording and filming his comedy special.
And that's at where?
The Laughing Tap, laughingtap.com for tickets. No drink minimums, $20 tickets. Come on down.
There you go. So go enjoy the show. Enjoy your weekend. Thanks for being a part of Up North News Radio for this week. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you come Monday.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
Emergency medical unit, respond to 102 Maple Avenue, possible stroke victim.
When stroke occurs, you have 60 minutes to win or lose the race of your life. There are new treatments, but you must get to a hospital fast. If you suddenly feel weakness on one side, have trouble speaking, walking, or seeing, it could be a stroke. Call 911. Get to a hospital. Because how you spend the next 60 minutes could determine how you spend the rest of your life. Stroke. Know the signs. Act in time. A message from the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more
about WFHR Wisconsin service. Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
News, talk, and